Let's turn in God's Word to Proverbs chapter 31. The well-known 31st chapter of Proverbs, the text for the sermon is verses 10, 11, and 12, 10 through 12. This is the word of God. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what, the son of my womb, and what, the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen, and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up, and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. That far we read the infallibly inspired word of God. The text is verses 10 through 12. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, here in Proverbs 31, we have the portrait of the virtuous woman. These are the words infallibly inspired, the Word of God, but here the human writer is this man, Lemuel. Probably, or even perhaps, he is Solomon. But this is these words, the counsel of Lemuel's mother to him. That's what he records here in Proverbs 31. You can imagine that as a little boy, he sits on his mother's lap and receives her instruction. But now, because he's a king, he's an older, mature man, still his mother, as this older man, is giving him instruction. If you follow the chapter from verse 1, she gives instruction on how he must deal and must not deal with women. He must not deal with them in a way of folly. She gives him some teaching on strong drink and how a king must restrain himself, but how there are some other limited uses of that strong drink. She also gives him some instruction in the latter verses about how he is to deal with those in his kingdom who are of low estate. But now, at the start of our text in verse 10, she comes through the end of the chapter to this instruction on the virtuous woman. In her counsel that she gives this grand and beautiful portrait of what a godly woman looks like in her marriage. That's what we see today, because that comes first. What this kind of spiritually minded woman looks like in her relationship to her children and the way that she takes care of them. But also what she appears to be, what this portrait reveals about her in all the affairs of her home and how she manages her household. That takes you through the end of chapter 31. This is a very necessary word for us this morning. Perhaps there is not a lot of instruction specifically to women. We do hear a lot about marriage. We do hear often about the role of husbands and fathers in the church, how they must rule and lead in the home. Not as often, though, do we have an entire focus on the women in the church, mothers in Israel, but not only mothers, all of the women in the church. Proverbs 31 is an outstanding example of that. The most extended treatment that you will find in all of the scriptures on a description of this godly, blessed woman. So we, in the interest of preaching the whole counsel of God, are interested also in preaching concerning this subject. Just to tell you how important Israel also esteemed this chapter to be, verse 10 and all of the verses following it are called an acrostic. An acrostic, which means that starting with verse 10, you have a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, starting with the first letter in verse 10, the second letter in verse 11, and so on successively through the end of the chapter, that made the chapter for the Israelites very easy to memorize, and that shows you how highly esteemed is this instruction of the woman. It needed to be memorized, not only by the women, but the children and husbands and all of the men as well. It would be as if verse 10 starts with the letter A, verse 11, B, and so on. Makes it easy to memorize. Very important chapter. What also underscores its necessity for us is the rarity of this virtuous woman in the world. Rare. The text brings that out, as we'll see. Who can find a virtuous woman? In other words, you can't find her a lot of places. So the Church of Jesus Christ needs special attention and focus, especially in this last hour of history, in the midst of all kinds of wickedness. This is what God expects of mothers, but all women in the church, to look like this portrait in this world where it's so rare. But this is also a good sermon on the occasion of baptism, because a husband and wife, a father and mother, bring their child for baptism. So it's good instruction for mothers and all women in the church. Next time, according to God's will, on the occasion of baptism, we will look at the responsibility of fathers. And the next time, again, according to the Lord's will, the responsibility of children, everyone in the family. Let's consider this word of God under the theme, the virtuous woman. First of all, her virtue described. Second of all, her virtue expressed. First point, this is what it looks like. Second point, this is how it's expressed in marriage very concretely. And the third point, her virtue commended by others, but most importantly by God. Who can find a virtuous woman? A piercing question, and a question that needs an answer. This virtue is a rich idea in the Old Testament. It is a quality or an attribute of a woman, something that describes her. This virtue is a quality or an attribute. In the first place, it is the quality or attribute of strength. That comes out from the different ways this word virtue is translated in the Old Testament. Children, you know that lots of times when you read through the Old Testament books, you find that word valiant. A valiant man is very muscular, he's strong, he's mighty. He's so valiant, mighty, and strong that he's able to go into war, even if he's by himself, and able utterly to vanquish the enemy because he's a valiant man. That's the same word as this word, virtue. Another way the word virtue is translated is army. An army is a whole group or collection of these valiant men. And when you get all of these valiant men together, they march out to the field, then they, even more than one man, are able to beat the foe utterly. This woman, now that we come to Proverbs 31, and this is a word that now applies to women, virtuous, she is therefore a strong woman. This isn't the strength in that she's bullheaded, that she's a woman who's bossy and always gets her way, someone that we might say has a strong will. That's not the strength in view here. This isn't the kind of strength either, or necessarily, which is physical, although we notice as the portrait continues that this woman is very able to take care of her house, that she has a lot of energy, and she is, in a certain respect, in the body, strong. That, however, is not primarily a prerequisite for a virtuous woman. Her strength is spiritual. It is a strength of the heart. It is a strength in God. Strong woman. In the second place, this woman has an attribute or quality of virtue. She's strong, but also this. She's of high value. That's what virtue is, high value. That comes out from the word virtue itself, which has the use also in the Old Testament of wealth, or someone who possesses many things. Therefore, we could say about this woman that she's rich in a way, that she's highly valuable. But that comes out as well at the end of verse 10, because it says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." This is another way to describe this virtue. She's, in a way, expensive. Her price is high. These rubies, not exactly sure what these rubies are. It could be that we take the sense of the English word itself to mean actual rubies, a gemstone of various sizes with a red, ruddy hue to it, beautiful and precious and expensive. This word could also mean a kind of red coral or even a shining pearl. Will stick in the text with the meaning, however, of a ruby, that red gemstone. This woman has a value, a price, which far surpasses even the most precious, even the most shining ruby in all of the world. All of them put together, even. Her value is that she is a rare find. That's the virtue. That's what characterizes her. When you go out into your backyard today, you won't find rubies all over on the grass. If you go to the beach, you won't find these gemstones littered all over the sand. The explanation for that is rubies are rare. You need to go to a certain country, and then even if you go to the right country, you have to find, discover the right kind of deposits. Only then might you find some of these very rare stones. Just as a ruby has very high value because it's rare, just so the virtue of this woman is her rarity. You look at all of the world, you find a lot of black coal, which is ugly, a lot of immoral women, a lot of unchaste and unfaithful, ungodly in every way. That's very common. But you don't find shining red, sparkling rubies, virtuous women very often. That's the force of the question. Who can find a virtuous woman? She's so rare. Yet we know very well the answer of the text. She is found many times in the Church of Jesus Christ, as it's found in the world. She is found, and in many places, in Peace, Protestant, Reformed Church, even though she's rare, that's where you'll find her. Her virtue, as highly valuable as that she's rare, but she's also very beautiful and precious. That's what characterizes her. Just as you have this ruby and you hold it up to a light and you see that light as it split out into all kinds of different shining rays in that beautiful, exquisite red hue, just so this woman, this virtuous woman, shines forth in a beautiful, exquisite red in her godliness. In her godliness. Let that be known, people of God. This is not outward beauty. Verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. Young women, are you listening? The beauty and preciousness of this woman, which far surpasses even the most precious gems, is not of the body. She does not try to look at all of her friends and say, I need to reach that standard. She doesn't look at the magazine racks in the store, see the shapes of the body and the weights of those women and say, that's the kind of standard I need to try to attain. That's the folly of the world, and that's the lie of the world. This is not a woman as she gets older that tries to erase as well as she can all of the effects of aging because she's worried about the way her body looks. Not outward beauty. But this preciousness and beauty is of the heart. As Scripture says everywhere, an inward spiritual beauty of a godly woman who's found in God and hidden in Him. There's one other thing that we can say about this value of the woman, that being her virtue. She's rich. The reason that jewelry stores can sell such a tiny item for a very high price is because these, not only rubies now, but diamonds, all of these stones are very expensive. I even read that a large enough ruby is more expensive than a diamond. But just as these this value is so high for these precious stones, this woman surpasses them all, which means that she is rich. Not because she has such a big bank account, not even necessarily or at all that she has a well-paying job. She might actually be quite a poor but hard-working woman. But she's rich, again, because of the grace of God, because she's a godly Christian woman. She's virtuous, strong, and of high value. What explains that? It's not her. It's not any woman of the church, just as we know that to be true all of us. Her virtue is not due to herself. That's part of the force of the question itself. Who can find a virtuous woman? Not only the fact that she's very rare in the world, but Holy Spirit puts that in the form of a question because this is not something that can be cultivated by oneself. Lemuel's mother gives him instruction out of her own personal experience. She draws this portrait. She knows very well and puts it in this form of a question because she knows that she cannot have this virtue of herself. But isn't that something that we know by personal experience? We look at this chapter, this high standard. Look at the way that she deals with her children. Look at the way she lives with her husband. Look at the efficient and hard-working way that she deals with her household. And the women of the church say, I could never attain that. This is almost an unrealistic picture of a godly woman. But it's exactly when we say that, then we realize, in my own strength, I can't. I can't possibly attain to this ideal. It's Jesus Christ. Christ Himself, who was a man of virtue. Christ, who had that virtue of strength. There He marched all the way to the cross, with the heart as of a lion, and with courage and boldness, He willingly gave Himself up to the sacrifice of the cross. And there, as the strong man, God Himself, that He was, He utterly defeated all His foes, all the devil and his works and darkness. Jesus Christ, this man of virtue, God Himself, who went through His life highly valued because He was beautiful and precious in Himself. He who shined as the eternal Son of God with all the beautiful red, precious hue as of a ruby and all the attributes of God. Which color, which beauty came out like it did nowhere else at the cross where He died for sinners? Jesus Christ, this man of virtue, who's rich because He came into the flesh. He became exceedingly poor for sinners. He died on the cross for sinners so that they might become rich. But then, as He came into the state of exaltation and He ascended to His Father's right hand after His resurrection, then He Himself became exceedingly wealthy spiritually. There He was clothed with all honor and majesty at His Father's right hand. That Christ of virtue dwells richly in the heart of the godly woman whom He has chosen. What explains the way that you live? What explains the way that you talk and you deal with others, women of the church, women of Zion? It's Christ, because He rests richly within you by His grace. That's what shines. What's the big picture of Proverbs? Wisdom. There He's beautiful as He dwells within your heart because of wisdom too, and that also which He works into your life. Which is
simply to say, you are Christ-like. That's your virtue. But it's more than that, because that grace in your heart, in Jesus Christ, empowers you to walk that way too, mightily out of His cross. He strengthens your legs and your arms so that you can live in this way as the virtuous woman. The power of Christ inside really all of us. Do you look upon your past and wonder if something you have done has disqualified you from this portrait? Do you look at this ideal and say, I can never make it? Look away from self. Look to the power of Jesus Christ. Young women, does this portrait describe you? All women. This doesn't just apply to the married. It applies to those single too, all the women of the church. Notice that question. Can any find a virtuous woman? The point being, before she's married, she needs to be found. She's virtuous before marriage. And if it's God's will that she be single all of her life, then she's virtuous all those years. You need not be insecure or feel inferior to other women who are married, because you are blessed too. You are virtuous too. You express that in a life of singleness. But also this, if there is not this life of virtue by the power of Christ characterizing your life before marriage, because you want to wait until marriage to live that, that's a mistake too, and that's a sin. Characterizes all of our years. Young men, are you looking, if you seek to date, or if you are dating, do you look for that kind of woman? Sometimes young men have a checklist of sorts when they look for someone. Don't put at the top of that personality. Don't put at the top of that looks. That's not entirely absent, but put at the top of that a checklist, which is our text. Is she virtuous? Is she a strong woman in God? Is she highly valued? Is she a rare gemstone, beautiful and rich, with the grace of Christ operating inside of her? That's the woman you need. That's the woman that you must seek. Don't ever, young men, look anywhere besides that. It is only to your detriment. Mothers, are you teaching your sons and your daughters not only to live this way, but to seek that? Lemuel's mother was. That's the context. Fathers too, but mothers have a special role in that, in all the time that they have with their children, shaping and molding. This is what a virtuous woman looks like, son. Daughter, this is the way that you are to live according to this portrait. This virtue of women in the church, godly women, is expressed in the most beautiful and striking way in marriage. That's how the text continues. She will do him, verse 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. How does this godliness of heart really show itself and shine as that priceless ruby? In marriage. Note that. Marriage comes first. The Holy Spirit is not pleased at the beginning of this explanation of the virtuous woman to start with children, although he's getting there. He's not pleased to start with the mother's management over the house, although he'll get there. First of all, and primary, is her marriage. That's easier said than done, because when couples are in those busy, even frenzied years of raising children, then it's easy
not to maintain the marriage like it should be. The children need to get ready for catechism, help with homework at night, get them ready for church, go here and go there. By the time our sons and daughters go to bed at 7, 8, or 9 o'clock at night, we're too tired to maintain the marriage. We're exhausted. We're ready for bed, not to maintain the communication of our marriage. So with the children, with all this pace, it's easy after some years simply to be conscious of the fact that our wife or husband is in the house. But that's just about it, because all the talk, all the energy is spent on the children. But the Word of God here and the very placement of our text in this chapter is marriage is first, it's primary, it's foundational, even before children and before the house. When that's the case, then taking care of the children will more or less fall into place, because there's a strong marriage, that's primary. When there's a beautiful and strong relationship between husband and wife, then also the affairs of the house will become more efficient and perhaps even easier. But the marriage is there. In this healthy marriage, the husband trusts in his wife. This trust is a confidence. It is, as it were, that the husband entrusts his heart to the one whom he loves. It is an entire confidence. He has no doubt. He has no anxieties about what she might do or say. He doesn't have to worry about that. The husband who has this confidence has also an exclusive trust. He doesn't trust in this way with his friends. He certainly doesn't put his confidence and lay out his heart to another woman, but the text says to her, that is, to her alone and exclusively. The last verse, verse 12, gives some content to what that trust is, because he doth safely trust in her that she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She'll do him good. She'll seek his welfare and his advantage in all things. When the wife is with her friends, she won't air to them, broadcast all of his sins and weaknesses, because she has his reputation in her heart and she cares for that. A wicked woman, an evil woman, tells her friends everything about her husband and damages him in very serious ways. But she has him personally. She wants to do him good. A woman who has her husband's welfare at heart will take the secrets that he tells her and store them in her heart and not tell anyone else. When her husband struggles with sin, where's the virtuous woman? She's down on her knees in the bedroom in prayer. She has a battle of her own. She's praying to God for the grace to live in her marriage in a godly way with her husband. She's praying for the strength of God to work in her husband's life, to make him to overcome that sin, and how she as a wife can deal patiently with him, because that's what a strong woman does. She prays. When her husband is hurting, when he's discouraged, when he's battle-scarred, then she comes to his side with the Word of God and with godly wisdom. That kind of virtue. She seeks to do him good. That's why the husband trusts in her. He knows that will be the case. The husband also places his entire confidence in his beloved wife, because he knows that she will take care of the children too. And that also for his sake. The fact of the matter is that husband and father cannot always be home. He's at work. He's busy outside of the home. That doesn't mean at all that husbands and fathers may abdicate their position as a ruler in the home and leader. Not at all. Just acknowledging the reality. He's not always home.
So he entrusts the children to his wife, and he knows that she, as this virtuous woman, highly valuable and strong, will teach them to pray while he's gone, will lead them into the green pastures of his word, and will live as this godly example before them. He has no doubt in his mind. Because she is this godly, spiritual woman, he also places his entire and exclusive confidence, also in even what we might call the mundane details and matters of life, that she'll take care of the house. He doesn't have to worry about that. He doesn't have to be burdened by that. She's there. She's efficient. She's a hard worker, as we see of this woman in chapter 31. What a blessed trust he has in her. The result of that confidence is the end of verse 11. That husband will have no need of spoil. All these spoils of war that someone might get, they vanquish the foe. Now they take all that clothing, that food, that drink, their gold, silver, and money, take it for themselves, all of that booty. That's the kind of spoil here. But the text says, when you have a wife like that, you don't have any lack. You don't lack any spoil, not only because she's busy in the home and in the children, and because she seeks your welfare, but because she is herself that spoil. She's treasure. That's the way we view our wives. I don't need anything. I'm sufficient. I'm complete. I believe this is an important word for those who have been in marriage for a few years. It's a temptation that the newness of marriage wears off after a while. And the husband starts to get a little bit dissatisfied. He's not really content anymore. He doesn't see his wife as the spoil that she is, as he used to. So perhaps he gets some toys for himself, or he becomes more and more involved with his friends from week to week. Or he gets involved in a hobby in such a way that he's gone from the home almost every night of the week, or he drowns himself with work. The fact is, he's not really content anymore. If you find yourself to be in that stage or in that state, look at the text. She is to you spoils. Everything you need is right at home. How beautiful that is. What a great blessedness is this woman. Mothers in Zion, but all of you, God has accorded to you a high and a glorious place. Never doubt that. The lie of feminism is making inroads into the church more and more. Women and Christianity, as rooted in the Bible, have a low and oppressed place. You are stomped underfoot by your husbands. That's what the lie of feminism says. We hate that lie because the Bible says, no, you women in the church, as a help fit for your husbands, have the most glorious place that God could ever give you in all of the world. Taking care of your children, trusted by your husband, being a spoil to him. Don't listen to those lies. This woman is high. She's not weak. She's strong in the Lord. And she's highly valued. Young men, do you want that kind of marriage? Not only now that you look for that virtuous woman, but do you want that kind of marriage too? Let this be a warning. Marriage is for life. That too is the text. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. That marriage bond is not dissolved by anything but death. If you are not dating wisely, if you do not look for a virtuous woman, you may just end up with a woman who has a heart black as coal, You might just end up, if you don't date and choose wisely and according to these requirements, with a woman, as the text says, who does you evil all the days of your life. That's a long marriage. And those are many miserable days. She'll talk about you to her friends and slander you. She will tell your secrets and your sins to everyone else. She won't do you good. She won't pray for you, but she'll do everything in her power as the years go by to do you harm. That's a deadly serious thing. Be wise. Proverbs, be wise. But marry a virtuous woman, and that will be blessedness for years and years. Trials, yes, but happiness. This is the virtue, beloved congregation, of the women of Zion, which is commended highly. Verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Husbands, praise your wives. That's a word to me too, lest they become weary in well-doing. Children, go home today and call your mother blessed. See her as the precious, beautiful woman that she is. Virtuous. Make her know that. Mother, I'm thankful for you. I love you. And I see the beauty of Jesus Christ shining in you. But what's more important than all is that God commends your life because He sees His grace and the fruit of His grace shining through you as an exquisite, beautiful red ruby. Go forth, mothers of Zion, wives, and all women living as this one who is virtuous. Amen. Father in heaven, give not only some, but all of us that grace to live in the power of Jesus Christ and by His cross, a life of godliness, whether that be as husbands or wives or children or singles. We thank Thee for the name and place that Thou hast given us in the church. Now may we go forward strong in Thy might to live godly lives of virtue. Forgive our sins. This we pray in Jesus' name alone. Amen.